Good morning and greetings to each one of you in our Savior's name, and we look forward to our time together in the Word. Let's read out of the book of Isaiah. Let's read out of Isaiah for our first reading. And let's read out of chapter 55, the book of Isaiah. It says, "Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It's just a beautiful verse, and certainly a prayer that's on our heart, just asking God, you know, acknowledging that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways, and asking him for direction. And now the next few verses are the promises, and then we'll read out of Mark chapter 4. And these fit well, I think, with what we're going to read out of Mark chapter 4. And verse 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Those are great promises. And in verse 12, "For ye shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing hymn 203. "Thou hast words of life," hymn number 203.
Thank you.
Let's kneel and pray together. Father, we're thankful for the words of life that thou dost give us, even in Scripture, where we can read Isaiah 55, we can read Mark 4, and we can be instructed, Lord, that thou canst teach us just from thy heart and from thy word. And Lord, we know we're encouraged, and even in the Old Testament reading, to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Father, we're thankful that we can seek thee and we can call upon thee. And Father, the challenge then is to forsake the wicked way and our unrighteous thoughts and return to the Lord, and he will pardon. Father, we thank thee for being a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness, a God of pardon. And it is a privilege to come before thee and come to thee, Lord, and just to even acknowledge that thy ways are not our ways and thy thoughts are not our thoughts. And Father, that humbles us, because we know that there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is death. So Father, forgive us when we think our own thoughts and try to do our own ways and live according to our will. And Father, our desire is to replace our thoughts with thy thoughts and our ways with thy ways. So Father, just guide us into truth today. Guide us into thy word. Guide us into the way that we should go. And we know that in thy presence is fullness of joy, and thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. And even the promise that we see here is, even as, and we see the snowflakes this morning, and we've seen rain, and we know it comes down from heaven, and Father, it waters the earth so that the seed can bring forth fruit, and it's comparable to thy word, Lord, as it goes out. It thy will is that it would not return to thee void. And yet we understand that if the seed falls on the wayside or on the stony ground or among the thorns, it does not produce fruit. So Father, give us a soft heart today, a heart that is comparable to the good soil that the farmer needs to sow the seed in. So Father, bless our time even this morning. And Lord, we pray that thy kingdom would come. Father, we have opportunities all around us to advance thy kingdom. And we even want to pray even for the opportunity. There's going to be an opportunity at the prison. We just found out. And Father, may that be done according to thy will. And we pray that, Lord, if it be thy will, thou will raise up people even here today that would be able to and willing to go to the prison in February. So God, many other opportunities, even think of the discipleship group, we think of small groups, we think of time in church, we think of personal challenges and goals that we've set. Father, make us faithful to thee and to thy word. And Lord, we think of even the we know that there are those, even in the city, we think of Logan Ashleman and his health issues. Father, we lift him before thee and pray for thy healing hand. And we know again, Lord, that we want to pray that thy will be done, and yet we ask that thou wouldst intercede and provide for him and his family, Lord. We lift them up to thee in prayer. So guide our time. Lord, we're thankful that we can be together as a church body. And Lord, that we can have our children with us this morning. We ask thy blessing upon our time. And God, that thou will make thy word fruitful for thy glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, could we, for our New Testament reading, turn to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to read chapter 4 today. Mark chapter 4. I remember that the time at Bible school when we went back to the room right across from the men's bathroom, and we talked about this passage. And that was a lot more fun than it's going to be this morning for some reason. You know, and you got this balance, don't you? You have this balance of church, and it's important, and you know, we want to be reverent, and it's a special time. And then we think of going back in the Sunday school room and talking about this. And in fact, we referenced it even last Sunday at potluck. I don't know if Beckham's here this morning. But, you know, we talked about this, and I just remember, you know, having the different soil and the different seeds. And I got a little Bible story book from, in the front of it, it says Emily, age 5. She put her age there. She got that somewhere when she was 5. And now she's expecting her fourth child. I don't know how old she is exactly. I could guess, but... So she's grown up, in other words. You know, so it's kind of a balance between being able to really show good illustrations here and get the seed out, get the soil out, and watch things grow. And I remember one thing we did, it just, you know, and it's a fascinating thing. You take a little maple seed, you know, the little helicopters that come flying out of the sky, so fascinating, you know, and they land, and so, you know, we were talking about that maple seed, and you look inside it, you can even tear it open, you say, where are the roots, you know, where's the leaves in here, where's the, you know, and you look at it, it's an amazing thing. And so then we talked about that, and then we would turn the lights off, and I would get a tree out of the cabinet behind me, and I'd pull out this tree, and it was like a miracle. You know, this seed went in and grew into a tree, and it was so interesting. So is this morning going to be interesting? Well, God's word is going to be good. I'm going to tell you that. God's word is going to be good. You remember sometimes when we have baptisms up here? And the little children come up, and you draw a line, say, don't cross that line. Oh, it's so hard, isn't it, for little kids not to cross that line, to just go a little bit further. How much should I stay behind that line? You know, as long as I keep my toes behind that line, can I just lean forward? And you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing that line. That's where we start here. And I love this. I love this. If you read about this, who's the teacher in Mark 4? And he began again to teach by the seaside. That's how it starts. Look at Mark 4:1. Look at it. And he began, Jesus began to teach by the seaside. So he's by the seaside. He's ready to start teaching. And guess what the kids do? Guess what the parents do? Guess what the teenagers do? Guess what the college-age kids do? Guess what the dads do? Guess what the moms do? They stay at the back. No, that's not what they did. I love this. Look. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude. And what did he have to do? So that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude is by the sea on the land. So what was the line in the sand? Probably the water. But you know, how many of you would move out into the water just to, you know, move out just a little bit and sit in the water? I would do that. I would move out, just get a little closer to Jesus, move out in the, well, you can't go up, you can sit down, but don't go any deeper, kids. Well, why can't I walk out to my knees? Why can't I walk out to my head? You know, it's a fascinating passage. I love it. How far would these people push? And they wanted to hear Jesus. They were so excited, and they just kept moving out. Jesus says, I got to go to the boat. You can come out as far as you want. I don't know what Jesus said, but it was just, what a great context. Why is it a great context? Number one is we had a wonderful teacher. Number two is the people were so excited about listening to Jesus. He spoke as one having authority. He wasn't like AC preachers. He taught with authority. Again, I don't want to say that, but you know what I'm saying. He was really special. I mean, Jesus was a master, a wonderful teacher, and then he's going to open up some truths that are just really amazing. And you know, this is not the only. And I think the other passage in Mark, and maybe we'll just turn to that, just to, again, to get a little bit of a feel for this. Because I just, you know, and it was on Jesus' heart. He loved to do this. He loved to sit down and teach. And just to share, if you turn to Mark 6, let's just go to Mark 6 and look at a couple verses in Mark 6. Mark 6:2, and we'll cover Mark 6 in a few weeks. But again, I think it helps develop the background and the setting here. 6:2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought?" Excuse me, wrought by his hands. I mean, Jesus was just—he just loved to teach. And if you go to verse 34, and again, we'll cover this when we cover Mark 6. But it's such a powerful verse. And Jesus, when he—and we're not going to spend time with it much, other than the fact of Jesus' heart. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. You know, you look up the word taught or look up the word teach in the gospel, and Jesus is, that was on his heart, just to teach and to share these truths. So let's go back to the story of Mark 4, just keeping in mind that these people were so excited to hear him. And Jesus was very willing to teach. And let's see what his message is in Mark 4. We'll read the whole chapter and go back and then meditate on a few things as we have time. I think we should start over. Let's start with verse 1 again, Mark chapter 4. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony grounds, where it had not much fruit. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. Now this is the parable explained. The sower soweth the word. That's a great verse. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that is sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he saith unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed that ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that here shall be more, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. He said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring up and grow, and he knoweth it not. And the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth it to sickle, because the harvest is come. And here's the parable of the mustard seed. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like the grain of a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. And when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. And without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, there's just a lot of truths in there. And, in the next few minutes, we can just, again, pick some truths that are important as we look at this passage, and just about the seed and the sower. And several times it talks about he that hath ears, let him hear. What are ears for? The ears are basically to hear, aren't they? And have you ever heard anybody say, well, it went in one ear and it just went out the other ear? And that's sometimes how God's word is. As we think about this parable, I think it's just, at least the first parable, the parable of the sower, I think there's just some classic truths and some important truths that we need to glean here. Now, if we'd take a pretest, what kind of soil, and this is the variable, the seed's the same, the sower is the same. The sower is already given. The sower is going to sow the seed, and so we've got those two. But the variable is our heart. The variable is the soil. And we, as we look at this, I think it's just fascinating to think about these different soils. And in my little Bible storybook that we used. We used it with in the Sunday school room, that as you think about this first soil, and let's read out of the explanation. And let's start at verse 14. And the sower soweth the word. I think well, how does that apply? The sower soweth the word. Well, Jesus is obviously sowing the word. And in the story, he says the sower went out and to sow the word. And to us, the challenge. And Jesus says, how does that apply to you and I? What does Jesus say? He says, you go therefore unto all nations and you teach them. You go out and you sow that seed. That's our responsibility as a believer, is to take God's word and sow those seeds, just as it said here. The sower soweth the word of God. They go out and sow it. One of my favorite, a challenging verse to me on this is Philippians. Let's turn there just to look at it, to make sure it's there. Go to Philippians chapter 2. And Paul is talking. And he says, 2:16, Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, holding forth the word of life. Now, to me, a different translation says, hold out and offer to all men the word of life. That's what that means. It says, hold out. You hold out God's word and you offer it to all men. And I think that's the meaning of this, part of the meaning of the sower went out to sow. You hold out and offer to all men the word of life. And that is written to you and I. And that's a challenge we have. You hold forth the word of life. And that scripture goes on to say, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul taught taught the Philippians that. And of course, Jesus taught us that same thing. And he said, so I'm running a race, and part of my race is to have others do this. Hold out and offer the all men the word of life. And what a blessing that is. You know, we can do that in our neighborhoods. You know, at Christmas time, pass out Bibles as a Christmas gift. In our free Bible now, what a great opportunity! We're going to hold out and we're going to offer to all men the Word of Life. I mean, what a great opportunity! Edie and I had a little getaway. I go to that drawer and I said, "Come on, be in there." Nice. I was going to leave a post-it note on. It says, "Boy, this is really a good book. I love this book. Thanks for putting it in here." Holding out, you know, the Gideons have such a heart. They want to put the Bibles everywhere. You know, they want to hold it out and they want to offer to all men. We've done that in hotels in the past. You know, we've taken the Bibles, New Testament, you put it on the counter. You go to Grant's Transmission. Grant's Transmission has Bibles. I think they do. They used to. That's when the older generation ran the store, and I still think they have Bibles there because I've seen them there. Holding out and offering to all men the Word of Life. There's lots of opportunities to hold out and offer to people the Word of Life. And I think that's the first meaning of this parable. Hey, sow the seed. Be generous. You want a Bible? Got a Bible for you. You want a Bible? Here's a Bible. Ever read the Bible? Have it? I got a Bible for you. Now, again, there's 100 different kind of Bibles. There are hundreds of Bibles. And you kind of got to pick your weapon. You know, pick your devotional. Maybe it's got one verse a day. That's just right for somebody. Maybe it's got a chapter a day. Ah, that's just, you know, why don't you use this Bible and read this Bible? There's lots of opportunities. Holding out. I love Philippians. Hold out and offer to all men the Word of Life. The sower went out to sow. Jesus said, "I want to sow the seed." And Jesus just sowed seed. Sowed seed. That's the first application. Okay, now verse 15. Some are by the wayside where the word sown, and when they, you know, the wayside. And I love the picture in my little Bible storybook. It's on the path. And what comes on the path? Five big toes and a big sandal, and it's crushing these seeds. It just walks. Here's what people are walking. I went to Banwurts, and they're sowing seeds on the wayside. I think. I mean, it looked like it to me. It looked like grass seed. You know, I think this was true. I'll have to check to make sure with Neil, but I've seen it at my house. You know, sometimes you spread seed out, and you can spread it out in the winter. So it'll sit there, and it'll be grass seed. So it'll grow then, right? Just put some grass seed out. It'll make your yard a little more green. Put it out right now. But we were walking to their house potluck. I said, "What are they planting grass seed on the sidewalk for?" Now, of course, that wasn't the intent. But you get a little grass seed on the sidewalk. You can't do anything with grass seed on the sidewalk. Nothing's going to happen. And people step on it, and it's a horrible thing. And birds come and eat it. Does nothing. Okay, some of our hearts are like that, isn't it? And what does Jesus say? Satan comes immediately. The word goes out. Satan comes and snatches it, or he smashes it. The word does not grow. The word does not lodge. It may lodge in our, I don't know, doesn't even lodge. It goes right through. It has no way. You don't hear it. You don't hear it. Okay, that's the first. Satan comes, he'll steal that away. And that's a sad thing. You know, when people hear the word and they just do not respond. Look at the second one. "And these are they which are sown on stony ground," verse 16. "And when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness." They say, "This is awesome. Repentance, I love repentance. I'm ready to repent. Yes, I'll repent. I want the joy of the Lord." And so excited. But you know what happens? Look at verse 17. "They have no root in themselves. And so they endure for a little, for a time. But look what happens. Afterward," verse 17, "when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, Immediately, they're offended. They say, I didn't know it was this hard. Sure, I want to repent. I want to become a Christian. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. And so then you go home and you're so excited about that. You wake up the next morning and you think, oh, I have to give that up. You know, I have to, really? I can't do that anymore? Oh, no, I can't go there. Christians are supposed to, what, you know, this is the way a Christian is supposed to live. They're not supposed to involve themselves in this. Forget it. Persecution rises. The Bible says, you know, what does the Bible say? You know, the Bible says, love not the world. What? Neither the things are in the world. What? I love the world. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Well, what's wrong with that? That's kind of a little thrill I like. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. What's wrong with watching that? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. What do you mean? I can't be proud anymore. You know what I mean. And I think of athletics related to that. So much pride, you know. You know, I've been there. We try to be humble, don't we? Try to be humble and still, you know, be number one. I don't know. That, you know, there's a balance. But, you know, sometimes God's got a standard and he says, you know, this is the standard I want you to follow. A lot depends on your attitudes, what I'm saying. Really depends on your heart. You know, this Christian life is too hard. I'm done. I'm leaving it. And it's because of what Jesus says. He says there's a narrow way. There's a narrow way to go. And walk on that narrow way. I don't want to walk on that narrow way. I like the broad way. Well, you know, that's the one, that's the group that the stony ground. And it doesn't, the word dies. Let's go to the next one, verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and we've already talked about this, the cares of the world. You know, I'm more anxious about, and I care more about things of the world. I'm more interested in the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things. They'll choke that word. I picture myself falling right back on my back out in the meadow down at our property. Can you imagine me just going, boom, right on my back? Just falling right on my back. How did that happen? There's trees growing right along the edge of the meadow, and they're vines. It's so fascinating to me. These vines go, they wind around these trees. They'll go up to the trees. They'll start producing foliage, and I see Orlin back there. Orlin goes, I know the name of that plant. I said, I don't know what it is, but it's a crazy vine. Growing up, and you know, it'll go so tight that the next year, it'll stay there for a year. And the next year, that it'll strangle that tree. And it makes imprints in that tree. And so I unwind this, and I was pulling it out. It just gets so irritated, these vines. Because they wind up around the trees. They'll kill the trees. And I was pulling this out just as hard as I can. And here it comes. You know, I just love it. It's, get those vines out of those trees. I don't want them in there. And it broke. I just went, boom, right on the grass, right on my back. But, you know, and I was fine. Now, I have broken ribs doing something like that. But that was on ice. But, and I was thankful I wasn't hurt. But I just went, boom, just right. And it was an easy fall. But I'm telling you, those vines, you try to plant. You don't want to go plant in those, in that area. They grow up and they just choke things. You know, and that's God's word wants to produce fruit. And it will not because of the thorns. And what are those thorns? And you know, we got to look at this. These are not idle words. You know, Jesus said, please look at that. If you're 12 years old today, look at this. If you're 10, if you're 11, if you're 14, if you're 22. I mean, look at this. Let's think about this. Please look at that. Got your finger on verse 19? Lord, what are the cares in this world that are choking me? Choking your word out of my life? What are the deceitfulness of riches? Do I think more of riches than I do of your word? Are the lusts of other things, are they choking the word and becoming unfruitful? And now the good part. Let's get to the good part. And these, verse 20. And Lord, I just pray, God, just pray to my, you know, God, make my heart that way. Make my heart soft. Make my heart like gridly soil. I love gridly soil. Soil at Leo, we had to work and work and work on that soil. We had to go up to the Amish neighbors. We had to get horse manure in our back of our wagon. We'd have to bring this horse manure back to our garden. We spread horse manure all over our garden. We had to get leaves. Go get leaves. Get those leaves. Put it in the ground and till that ground in. Till it up. Till it up. Come on. And that was one of our jobs. One of my jobs too. As a young man growing up. Till those leaves in. Till that horse manure in. Till it in. Till next year. But listen, go to Gridley. If you've never been to Gridley, go to Gridley. Mom Witzig says, hey, would you till my garden? I said, oh yeah, I'm very good at tilling gardens. I have lots of experience. And this was when I was married, of course. And so, but when I was tilling at Leo, I was a young kid. So I go out, started the tiller. You know, went one round. I said, whoa, that soil was black. That soil was rich. I loved that soil. One round, and it was ready to plant. You didn't have to do anything to that soil. That was good soil. It was amazing soil. And God says, that's what I want in your heart. I want amazing soil. So when I say something, guess what happens? Oh, here comes some wheat. Oh, here comes some corn. Oh, here comes some beans. And it grows up. It's amazing. And it's a fruitful garden. It's an amazing garden. And that's what God's saying. I want a garden like that. Now I have to stop and think. Is my heart today like the wayside? And I think, let's think of Banwert's sidewalk. Is that like my heart in a sense? You know that it's not going to grow. Nothing will grow. Or is it by the, like a rocky area? You know, you put seeds in a rocky area, it's not going to grow. You put seeds where it can grow, but there's lots of thorns and vines around, it's not going to grow. The word goes forth, but this is such a blessing. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Let's call it gridly ground. These are they which are sown on gridly ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, 60, and some 100. How does that work? I don't know. But let me tell you just one application of that. You know, if the word enters our mind, no, there's not much change. If the word enters our emotion, say, oh, that's really good. There's not much change. The word has got to enter our heart. You know, the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So I ask myself, how is the word doing in my heart? And then Jesus says, and it'll bring forth some 30. Do you ever take a grain of a head of wheat? Now I have done this a little bit, but not enough to test it out. But some grains will do about 30 grains of wheat. There'll be about 30 seeds on that head of wheat. Some will grow 60, and some will grow 100. They're different heads on that wheat. And I don't know that much about it, other than I know Jesus was referring to that. And Jesus says, I mean, I would be glad if I brought forth 30-fold. You know, I would say, God, thank you. You know, the word has come in and it's produced 30-fold. Or it's produced 60-fold, it's produced 100-fold, and that's what we want. Okay. You're ready for me to close. Edie told me, she says, don't skip any parts. I said, okay, I'll try. Please do your own. This is your self reading. Quick, would you please speed read about the candle, so we don't miss that. We're not going to say much about the candle. We don't have time. Okay, talks about the candle. You know, and there's every Jesus is going to manifest everything. There's nothing going to be done in secret. It's all going to be exposed. How about the fruit? You know, we want fruit. Talks about fruit through verse 29. Talks about the parable of the mustard seed and how that grows and produces fruit. And we're so thankful for the fruit it produces. And that's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants his word to produce fruit. He wants you and I to produce fruit. Let's finish with the storm. I love this story. don't trust in the Indianapolis Star. Because I saw a headline. Guess what the headline says? It says, we go forward, fear and faith going forward. So guess what? We're going forward with fear and faith. That's what the Indianapolis Star says. We go forward with fear. And this is referring to the election, right? We're going forth with fear and we're going forth with faith. And what would Jesus say to that? Well, you remember the story, and Jesus was sleeping, which is an incredible thing that he could sleep during that storm. But they woke him up and said, Master, we're perish. And, you know, I would have loved to have been on that boat because, you know, if the disciples and the fishermen would say, we're going to perish, it would have been over the top for us. Okay, and then verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And some of you remember the story that Edie shared about fear and faith. She shared it a couple different times. But I just want to review this story with you because it made such an impression on me. Of her understanding that fear and faith don't go together. You got fears in your life? We all have fears. When I'm afraid, David didn't say, if I'm afraid, that sometimes, you know, we're just, some people are not afraid. I think we're all afraid at certain times with certain things. When I'm afraid, David says, I will trust in God. So you turn that fear to faith. But listen to this story. And the same thing what the disciples did. They turned their fear. And Jesus says, you need faith. And I'm just going to read some of this, parts of this, and we'll be done. Okay? Edie writes, are you ever afraid? She says, I am. I have lots of fears. But one of my favorite verses on fears is Psalm 56:4. And we just said that. When I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I'll praise his word. In God I'll put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I forgot about the rest of that verse. Listen to this again. Listen to 56:4. When I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. That's really good. I forgot about that. You know, it's God's word that gives us the anchor. In God I'll praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In this verse, it says, when I'm afraid, it acknowledges that we will be afraid. It's a part of life. So, and Edie says that as she was doing a Bible study, she came across some interesting information. It says that new studies on the brain show that thankfulness and fear cannot exist simultaneously. That's really a key thought. Or fear and faith can't exist simultaneously in the brain. There's either one or the other. You're either filled with fear or you're filled with faith. And that's really, I think that's really insightful. It was encouraging us to be thankful in all things, especially to give our fears to God, just like the disciples in the boat. By expressing thankfulness for something, it brought to mind a time when I experienced this in a very real way. Edie was in India for Christmas. This has been several years ago, visiting Sarah and Lon and Asia. They only had one child at that time. It was a real stretch for her to go to India at that time because she was a Gridley girl. She liked cars, and she liked to go to El Paso. And that was about, no, I don't know. And Lexington, you know, just towns around. But it was a stretch for her to go to India. In fact, she was afraid of mice, airplane rides, diseases, accidents, all very real in India. I had heard of horrific stories of driving in India. Well, God gave me a real peace about going over, and she was excited to be with Sarah, Lana, and Asia. From the beginning of the trip, she felt God's peace and presence. But one particular night really stands out to her. She went out to visit a home just way out in the dark part of a city. And it's dark, and it's muddy. And so she went out to this, it was a house that they were going to go eat at. And then guess what was in the house running around? Mice. And guess what they cook on? A dirty stove, dirty pots and pans. Guess what they brought in? A fish. Full of fish. A fish with bones and everything. And just, you know, here's this fish. And they cooked this fish in this dirty stove. And Edie got to eat it. It was just, you know, it's dark. You know, maybe one little light bulb. You know, and dirty. Quite an experience. And so, yeah. Okay, you know, you hope you get out of there and survive for the next few days. So you get out there, they walk out of there, and they get in this rickshaw. And this rickshaw, and there's a skinny little Indian pedaling this bike, this rickshaw. It's a taxi cab. And so they got to get back to town. So they jump on the bike, and I'm going to miss, I should read this. We were right on the rickshaw about dusk through the city streets. Sarah and Asia and I were together in the rickshaw driver. A very skinny little Indian man was pedaling very fast down the hill. The skinny little guy. You know, I don't know if they have brakes or not on those things. They might just cut a kitty and stop it right. You know, I don't know. They probably have brakes. Up ahead were trucks honking, driving like crazy. There were cars driving like crazy, cows, monkeys, pigs, animals, motorcycles, coming straight, you know, just coming up the other way. I grabbed Sarah's hand and said something like, "This is really scary." She saw my fear and leaned up and said in Hindi, "Please slow down. My mom is afraid." He leaned back and said in Hindi, "Tell your mother I promise to get her home safe." Well, at that moment, I decided not to ruin my trip by being fearful. This is an important point. Now, listen to this. I decided not to ruin my trip by being fearful. So she's in the boat. The wind is howling. The storm is raging. It is bad. I turned to Sarah and said, "Sarah, I am so thankful to be here with you. We talked the whole way home and had a very special time of bonding. We prayed for safety and started thanking God for the opportunity to be together. It took away my fear." And then she closes, "Next time you're afraid, remember that fear and thankfulness and faith, fear and faith cannot coexist in the brain. Start thanking God for something, believing Him, and cry out to Him, acknowledging His sovereignty, and He will comfort your heart." I love that story. That is a classic. Did I cover it okay? Thanks.
Fear is real. Fear is conquerable. Let's think about being sowers and seeing 180 together in the combined hymn bowl.
We would now look to a brother for a closing prayer, and we would ask that you please include the noon meal as well.
Father in heaven, Brother Ron brought some great instruction to us, dear Lord. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that Brother Ron was willing to be an example, dear Lord, and bring forth, dear Lord, the word of life. How He instructed us, dear Lord, out of the word, out of Isaiah 55, and also the great instruction, dear Lord, that Thou hast given us in Mark 4. There's many lessons, dear Lord, that we can learn from my word. And we just prayed, dear Heavenly Father, as we were this morning, that the fact that our hearts, dear Lord, were like the gridly soil, that it's fertile, dear Lord, and that the seed can be planted and grow forth. But it's not only, dear Heavenly Father, that man planting the seed, but it's our blessings, dear Lord, upon it. It takes moisture, dear Heavenly Father. It takes sweat. And dear Heavenly Father, we're knowing, dear Lord, that thou hast blessed this word as we heard it this morning. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for the Indianapolis Church, that it's here, dear Lord, that we can come and fellowship. We're thankful, dear Lord, that thou continuing to touch the hearts and those that do come here, dear Lord, to church every Sunday and every Wednesday night. We pray for those, dear Lord, that have a repented heart. And there are so many things, dear Heavenly Father, we can be thankful for. But it's because of thy Son Jesus and what he's done for us that he did go to the cross. He too had a repentant heart. He too had strife. He did have trials. And he also had temptations, as we all do have. But yet thy Son Jesus had his Heavenly Father's grace and his Father's will. So, dear Lord, now as we thank you, dear Lord, of the noon hour, dear Lord, and lunch has been prepared, we pray, dear Lord, for the blessings upon it. Those that have touched it this morning hour. Those that have provided this meal, dear Lord, on this day. And again, dear Lord, bless us. We thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.